The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Let's get right back to the calls and check in with Justin, who is up next in Cleveland. Hey, Justin.
Paul, I have two grievances I need to file.
Sure.
First of all, I think Jim has finally jumped the shark. We've all had fun with it. It's been a good time, but I think he's cast a pall over the show. No pun intended. He's finally jumped the shark. Second of all, my employer won't let me listen to the Paul Feinbaum Show anymore at work, so I can only catch it after 5 o'clock Eastern. So I wanted to know if you could have someone from the show call my boss and talk to him.
Yeah, I'll do it myself. So tell me more about your stupid boss.
Yeah, so we have a new rule that we can't have earbuds anymore. And usually from about 3 Eastern till 5, I did absolutely nothing but sit at my desk and pretended to work and listen to Paul Feinbaum's show. But now people walk around and they want to make sure that you're actually working, and it's cutting into my Feinbaum
show. Well, Justin,
show.
Yeah, I have to say, I think, you know, this is in Ohio, is that correct?
Yeah.
I think that is discriminatory. Not to allow people to use earbuds.
I know, and so now I don't know what I'm going to do because.
Well, here's what we're going to do, Justin. And I won't ask you to name your employer on the air, but we'll talk to you off the air. I, if it's okay with you, I think we ought to file suit against him. I'd rather go to federal court. I think the jurisdiction would be more helpful to us than to try it in state court, and you can't trust state courts, frankly. So, with your permission, we'll get some legal people up there this weekend, and we'll blow this guy out of the water for refusing to allow you to listen to the Paul Feinbaum show. That should be a federal crime.
That's right. And up here, our state is backward. I don't want to trust the state courts either. And when we get done with this, I'm going to make the Big Ten media rights look like pennies.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to own this employer of mine and listen to the Feinbaum show every day.
And by the way,
usually, Justin,
in most civil cases, usually you would give. Sometimes it depends. The lawyer might take a third. Sometimes even more. In this case, I'm only asking for 80%.
75, what do you say?
Deal. You got it. We'll be there.
All right.
How big a company is this?
I don't know that I want to give too many details.
Is it locally owned? Is it a big corporation? That's all I need to know.
I would say we're between 30 and 50 million.
I wish it was more.
I know.
Yeah, but,
if I get any money on top of all the Feinbaum show throughout the day,
yeah,
I'll consider it a victory.
So is it a locally owned company? That's my question.
No.
So it's part of a chain.
It's part of a firm that holds national companies.
Okay.
So maybe we need to go after the firm.
Well, yeah. Here's the deal in lawsuits. Always aim for the highest person. You always want to deal with the guy with the most money. And we'll just is it headquartered in Ohio, or where? Can you tell me where it's headquartered?
Ohio.
Okay. Yeah. We'll bankrupt them, okay? But not before we get our money, though. It's always a mistake.
Right,
you don't want them to declare Chapter 11 or Chapter whatever out from under us. Well done. Thank you. We'll be in touch. Okay, and we're going to hire the services of iMan in Montgomery to handle this lawsuit.
You know, Paul, I don't know if I'm qualified to do all that, but let me get this straight. I think I talked to you kind of about Tuesday.
Yes.
And he got a little on the testy side, so, you know, I'm kind of ticked off. But Jim's been ticked off, and he's called you and quit the show twice since I talked to you?
That is correct.
My goodness. Now, see, that's the difference in the way Jim handles ticked off and the way I handle. Try to think about it a little bit. Not that I've got the ability to think a lot, but maybe that's why I think about it a little bit. Paul, let's revisit the conversation. All right, there's been a precedent set. Man was pretty much asked to retire. And obviously, the word was brought into the red. How do we destroy that word to where it's never part of our vocabulary again?
I think
we do this.
Okay.
All right, we've got the precedent that it can cost you your job, because you and I both know this, and everybody listen. This caused lives, and there's people dead, families torn apart, people in prison. Lives have been changed forever because of that word. And if you have the ability to lose your job, then you also have the ability to lose whatever you're dealing with by simply saying it, whether it's practice field, whether it's in good tones, bad tones, and different tones, because everybody hears it different. And I think if we destroy that word and never become a part of our vocabulary again, how much better off we would be. And you know what? If the SEC adopted that program, I mean, look who would be the forefront in destroying a word that is by far, I think it's the most condemning word of all the things you cannot say on TV, with the exception of one. Are those fair statements?
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing to take exception to in what you said.
We've got to get rid of it. That's the bottom line. The word has got to go. There's nothing good about that word. Paul, listen, as always, y'all have a great weekend. How about them Auburn Tigers?
Let's check in with John, who is up next. Hello, John. John, are you there? Odds are he's not. Let's continue with Walt, who is in Jacksonville. Hey, Walt.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Hey, I was going to ask you a Lane Kiffin question. You know, after what he's done at Ole Miss for the last couple of years, moving him up so much, and, you know, it seems like he's figured out this transfer portal better than anybody else, and all the different things he's done. He's got, you know, a great offensive coordinator, a great defensive coordinator. They've moved on. But after this year, you know, if he does well again this year, is there anybody else that's going to have a better resume for moving on to bigger and better things? And do you think Ole Miss will be able to keep him?
I think it would be very difficult. And, you know, I understand the passion that Ole Miss fans have toward Lane Kiffin, and he's delivered that back. But I think Lane Kiffin, deep down in his heart of hearts, knows that Ole Miss is a challenge for him to do what he wants to do, and I think he wants to compete for championships. And, yeah, I'll let him answer it, but I don't think he believes he can do that on a consistent basis where he is.
Yeah, that's my fear. You know, being an Ole Miss fan, we love having him and would love to keep him, but I'm afraid he might move on, maybe even to the NFL.
Yeah, I don't think that I would rule that out. And what he did in the NFL years ago doesn't matter. I mean, he's well regarded and well thought of, and in some ways that might be an easier track. But yeah, you know, he's done remarkably well. But you know, he's a guy that I think his eyes are always wandering. And I think last year he may have left had the right opportunity come to him, but it just never did.
Well, you know, we don't know how long Nick Saban is going to coach, but, you know, Alabama sitting out there, that would be, I think, the most logical step if he was going to stay in the college ranks and want to move to an elite team. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I think when you've been at Alabama for a couple of years, you understand the infrastructure and you understand that you have an edge. You know, winning at Alabama is not the same as winning at Ole Miss. It's a much steeper curve.
Oh, indeed. He knows that, too.
He knows it very well.
One other little personal question. I was raised in Memphis. I played my high school football there. You were from Memphis, were you not?
Yes, I am. I was born there, and I was there until I left college. I mean, I lived there in the summers when I was in college.
What high school did you go to, if you don't mind me asking?
No, I'd be happy to. I started at Christian Brothers.
Right.
So,
I was just curious. Yeah.
What about you?
It was a great town. It used to really turn out a lot of football players.
Where did you go?
I went to Hillcrest in Whitehaven.
Sure, yeah, I've been to games out there. I'm pretty familiar with Hillcrest. When I was growing up, Hillcrest and Whitehaven were pretty much it for that part of the community.
I mean, we were big time back then. I mean, I'm certain you're a senior. This was back in the '60s.
Yeah, just but I remember I went to a I remember Hillcrest being a, I mean, both of those schools, I mean, I'm behind you a little bit, but they were powers. I think I went to, I take it back. I don't know if I went to a football game there. I know I've been to a basketball game at Hillcrest. So I don't know if we played Hillcrest when I was there.
Well, very interesting. Well, listen, thank you so much for taking my call. I love your show.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you taking me back down memory lane, which is not easy to do anymore. We'll take a short break. We have plenty of time for you to get in at 855-242-7285, and we're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back. It's great to have you with us. So we had Commissioner Kramer on during the last hour, and wow, that was cool. Zach is in Kentucky. Hey, Zach.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing?
We're doing great.
Hey, I've been a lifelong Kentucky Wildcats fan, and I just want to say that in the past 5 years, I can't think of a more exciting time for the program. On the other hand, it's been a big disappointment to Kentucky fans what John Calipari and the basketball program has produced. And I wanted to know what you thought about his basketball school comments, and if you just wish he would shut up like the rest of us until he learns how to win consistently, other than what he's done 10 years ago, and give the rest of the Kentucky fans something to actually cheer about.
Zach, I think it was arrogant, self-serving, inappropriate, and it has cost him. And you know, I've seen Cal say things in the past that he could walk back quickly, but I don't think he can walk this one back. Mark Stoops just stuck it. Well, I can't say that, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I just read that Mitch Barnhart is coming out tomorrow with a press conference, and that should be interesting. I hope that he comes to the conclusion that John Calipari needs to pipe down, because the Kentucky fan base is 100% behind Mark Stoops. We are not just a basketball school. We are very much a football school, and we're extremely proud of what he's brought to the fans. I can't remember a time in the past where I've been this excited and likewise this disappointed in what I get during basketball season.
Well, listen, I think the problem is that you can extinguish the flame here, but the damage is done. Whenever Mitch talks tomorrow, it will have been 48 hours, and that's not going to help. People have already made up their mind about what Calipari said.
Right, I totally agree with that. I'm glad the fan base is back in Mark Stoops. And I appreciate you having me on today. Just wanted to get that out on the air, thanks for having me.
Yeah, and this is interesting. Back to what he said, Mitch Barnhart will be available to talk to the media tomorrow. Apparently, Stoops has already has a scheduled press conference, and I'm sure knowing Mitch, he'll try to ameliorate the situation and calm the waters and say all the right things, but it's really not going to help at this point. Mark Stoops has won the battle, a battle that he didn't go looking for. He just ended. Thanks for the call. Really do appreciate it. Let's check in with Jimmy in the ATL. Hey, Jimmy, good afternoon. Jimmy, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Well, good. You're on the air. Thank you.
Well, hey, Paul, thank you for taking my call.
Of course. Thank you.
I just got a couple questions for you. Just one, the first off is with the Brian Harsin at Auburn, War Eagle, by the way, diehard Auburn fan, what would they have done if they actually would have fired him? What coaches do you think they would have looked for? In my mind, I'm thinking, would Lane Kiffin been one of the picks just to troll Alabama, or maybe even Dan Mullins? I'd like to know your opinion.
Jimmy, let's think about the timing of it. This happened was this late January when Brian Harsin's situation came up? I'll have to double check. Take Dan Mullen out of the equation. He was not going to be hired at Auburn. At that late point, yeah, you could hire a coach. It was February 7th, so it was after signing day. So that would have made things a little bit easier. But here's the bigger question. If that coup would have been successful, who then would have made the coaching hire? Would it have been Alan Green, who hired Harsin? My guess would be no. Would it have been the general who was running the program at the time? Yes. And who would have influenced the general? I would say the boys smoking in the bathroom. That's an old song, but that's who it would have been. It would have been the same crowd that wanted Kevin Steele.
The ones that pushed out Chizik.
I mean, it's a really fantastic question. I'd have to give it more thought than I've given it. It didn't happen, though. There was nobody. Could you have had an interim coach? I don't know. I mean, I don't think any great coach would have wanted the job at that point. Auburn would have been the laughing stock of the nation.
Right. I completely agree. Yes, that was just my thought. I just didn't know what they would do.
By the way, I really do like your question, though. It's one of those who would it have been type of deals. There was not an era. There was not an apparent choice. Kevin Steele always comes to mind because he was the guy they wanted in the first place, and he was available.
Well, I was thinking Hugh Freeze, but I mean that's another SEC question we have to talk about.
I'm glad you mentioned Hugh Freeze because I have reason to believe that he was probably called in that interim. I forgot about him. That shows you how quickly we forget. I think Hugh Freeze, as I remember the story, and it's been 6 months. He was the name that you kept hearing, and you're right. I think you just answered your own question. It probably would have been Hugh Freeze.
I think I did, too. Yeah. I appreciate that. One more question. What do you think about Bruce Pearl's trip to Israel? I think it was a complete success.
Yeah, I mean, I think what you want to do is give your players a unique experience. I know the Alabama players went to Paris. Bruce Pearl is very passionate. I've had conversations with him in the past about wanting to take a group to Israel, and it looks like it was a tremendous success. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. And you're right. You're right about Hugh Freeze, and I'm sure Hugh Freeze will go, how could you forget me? But I have reason to believe Hugh Freeze, now that I'm regurgitating that story in my mind, had already been contacted by some third parties. Would you be interested in this job? And the answer would have been most certainly yes. Let's talk to Mitch next in South Carolina. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, Paul. First off, you got to stop spreading rat poison.
Rat poison? What have I done?
Yes, say you said some good things about Clips.
Oh, okay.
No more rap pause.
Well, no, you will. Mitch, let me assure you, it won't ever happen again.
It will when we sign that contract and join the SEC.
Oh, you know. Yeah, well, then, Clem, yeah, you're right about that. I forgot. All you need to do is just go back down over my Texas comments over the years.
Can I ask you a question about your career?
Of course.
Were you a radio commentator or a writer in 94?
In 1994, I would have been both. I was writing a newspaper column and also on the radio.
The reason why I ask, and this is a sad story, but I have a reason for asking it.
Okay.
The situation in Kentucky where that offensive tackle got killed, got shot.
Yes.
And they eventually solved his murder a couple years later. Did you have to cover that?
No, I didn't, and here's why. I was writing a column in Birmingham at the time, and while that certainly was a big deal, I don't think I ever tackled that subject, so the answer would be no.
I was just going to ask you, as the writer, in your area, you got 16 schools, or 14 right now.
Right.
How do you just the position, a good thing that happens at one school and a bad thing that happens at another school, and try to keep it all level-headed?
Well, Mitch, one thing the SEC Network tries not to show partiality. You probably know that. In terms of the overall network, we give extensive coverage to every school in here. This show is a little bit different. Yeah, we try to talk to all the coaches, but we can't legislate the conversation. So what we often do is try to talk about stories that are most important on that day, and I'm sure whether it's good or bad, that is what dictates the news cycle. Hey, thanks, Mitch, for the call. We're up against a break. We have 30 minutes remaining, and we are back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
And we are back. Final 30 minutes of our program, and John is up next. We'll try John here and see if he's there. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. Can you hear me?
Yes, I sure can. Thank you.
Very good. Hey, this is why I consider you not the best interviewer in the country. That interview with Roy Kramer was outstanding. He was sharp as a tack, Paul. I mean, he did not miss a lick. And that was just a great interview. And your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, we make too much out of people's age, but I've interviewed Commissioner Kramer a number of times in recent years, and he sounds the same every time you talk to him. We should all wish to have the ability to construct thoughts like he does. I know I can't.
You do a great job. That was good. I've got one thing for Jim Tuscaloosa. I wish he wouldn't call the show. He's an embarrassment to himself. He's an embarrassment to the show. And Paul, I know y'all have a connection, but I just wish you wouldn't call the show again.
Well, John, thank you.
Thank you, buddy.
Whatever that connection is, it's getting pretty shaky. let's check out Nick, who is in New York. Hello, Nick.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
Very well. Thank you.
Yeah, I would love to get your thoughts on the Cox this year. I saw your caller the other day saying he thinks we're going to go 11-1, which is probably a little bit unrealistic, but as an optimist here, is 8-4 our upside? I mean, we haven't beat Kentucky the last 4 years. A&M's always good. Georgia and Clemson, so those are four possible losses right there. Would love to kind of just get your thoughts and see what are.
I mean, here, let's do it this way. Let's look at games that, to me, look like too big of a hill to climb. I think Arkansas. I think Clemson. And that's probably the only games I think that that are off the board. Well, I'm going to say Georgia. Well, I'm not going to say Georgia yet because I think that's a game at home. There could be a lot of momentum, but it would help if Arkansas is a win. So I think 8 wins is doable. I'll spare you the cliches, but I think 8-4 would be a pretty good record.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to ask you, too, out of Georgia and Clemson, I know they lost a ton, Georgia I'm talking about, but if you had to pick an upset between the two, you would be picking Georgia. You think Clemson's
off the
board?
I think so, unless we're all completely wrong about Clemson, but the idea of winning at Clemson to me seems unlikely, and I happen to be pretty high on Clemson this year. Their schedule is very manageable, and I think last year, had they not had the beginning debacle against Georgia, they might have gotten off the ground a little bit. But I don't see a whole lot on the Clemson schedule. I mean, the first three games are laughable. You know, Wake Forest is certainly a lot better now that their star quarterback is out. I don't know how long, but something's up there. NC State at home, that's a revenge game. And I don't know, Florida State doesn't scare me, and neither does – oh, hold on, I just noticed Notre Dame. But I don't see – I mean, Clemson could lose a game or two, but I don't see them – every time I mention it, I see a tougher game on the schedule. There's Miami. What's Miami going to be this year? Are they going to surprise everyone? So I still think I'd go with Georgia as the more likely upset.
I see you. I mean, is there ever really any tough games on Clemson's schedule, though? I'm looking at ours versus theirs right now, and I'd take their schedule over ours any day of the week.
They scheduled wisely this year, knowing that the game, knowing that Notre Dame was on the road. I think they made sure. I mean, the idea of playing Georgia Tech in the first game is beyond laughable, and really they don't have anything else this year. So they made it easy on themselves, except, you know, they got Miami at home, NC State at home. I don't see Clemson struggling. I mean, they could lose a game. Maybe, I mean, Notre Dame would be the most dangerous game I would predict on that.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, I'd agree with you there. And then wanted to get your thoughts on Rattler. I've seen a lot of preseason buzz. There's Heisman talks. He's apparently absolutely spinning it at camp right now. So would love to hear what you're hearing and what your thoughts on Rattler is going to be this year.
I think it's going to be great. I mean, here's a guy that has so much to prove. Imagine being him last year. Imagine being the preseason Heisman favorite and you get knocked out of the starting job in a couple of weeks, and it had to be pretty miserable. And to his credit, didn't really complain, and found a soulmate in Shane Beamer, knowing him previously, of course. I expect a huge year. Thank you very much for the call. Let's talk to Jeb next in Virginia. Hey, Jeb, go right ahead.
How you doing, Paul?
Jeb, we're doing great. Thank you.
Okay, I think you about answered all my questions about South Carolina, but you know what? When I was in grade school, I seen Frank Beamer play football.
Did you really?
Yeah. I just live in the county right next to Carroll County, where he's come from. And, he played for the Hillsville High School.
Was he good?
Yeah, he was good enough for when they played Blacksburg or something at Jerry, I can't think of his name now, Claiborne, yeah.
Oh, Jerry Claiborne, sure.
He said, I'm going to sign that boy. So
that's funny.
And he did.
Well, he's done a lot. I'm a huge fan of Shane's. I don't know much about his high school career, but I know a lot about his college career. Hey, thank you for the call. Steve is in Florida. Hey, Steve, you're on the air.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Good. So I watch your show now and again. Thank you. It's a great show.
Thank you.
Just got in from work, clicked it on, and when I clicked it on, I caught the clip of you from earlier in the week, which your phone guy told me was earlier in the week, of the attorney in Oklahoma.
Yeah, Andrew Coates.
Talking about changes in college football. So I've been thinking about this for a while. And It was inevitable that this was going to happen, the state of college football, how it's changing. I'm not saying it's good or bad, right? But what I am saying is that there's no segment of society, right? Certainly if you look at it, sort of, it's capitalism is what we're talking about here, in that there's no industry where money's involved that there's not a total consolidation in an industry, right? Remember when there was many cell phone companies, now
sure.
There's two or three.
Oh, of course.
Right? There was many grocery stores, now there's just Publix in Florida. Everything consolidates, maybe not to the benefit of the masses, right?
No,
but
absolutely
it changes
not.
And it evolves, and it's a dialectic, right? Starts with one idea, the pendulum swings, and at some point in time you have a new thesis. And I think that no matter what anyone does since 1984, this amazing that it took 40 years, right? But this is just a place we're in. I don't think that this is any different, Paul, than any other industry, and every industry consolidates. Remember, there used to be many people who made hardware for, our PCs, right?
Of course.
Now there's two or three companies. It's no different than any other industry. This is just capitalism. This is the way it evolves. And there's really no stopping it when the powers that be want it to move in a particular direction. Whether that is good or bad, I'm not judging, right? It's just really more of a macro concept.
Steve, you've laid it out really, really well, and I agree with you. And right now, we're talking about these two power brokers as if that just happened. The SEC and the Big Ten have always been, in modern history, the power brokers. And the reason is simple. They have the biggest deals. And the secret, and I think Andy Staples alluded to it, is that the Big Ten deals have always surpassed the SEC's, except the SEC gets so much attention because they win championships. And the SEC has a little bit more effective public relations arm. Don't look at me, which has helped enable them greatly. But there's a reckoning coming, and everyone else is seemingly falling by the wayside. And these two, what I think these two need to do, and I don't know if you agree, but they need to coalesce around each other because they control the market. And the battle that we saw last year becomes pretty obvious why we saw it about the CFP. The commissioners of the SEC and the Big Ten need to sit down and say, "Okay, listen, we run college sports. Let's find some way to have a better postseason."
Yeah, it's they have a great those two leagues. They have great product, right?
Right.
The West Coast of the United States, guys like us on the East Coast, we don't even see the games.
Right? Yeah.
And there are just some couple of big names. And not that I want to see anything disintegrate. I love college football. I love sports in general, right? But, I mean, if you take it from a practical standpoint, I don't think that the Pac-10, Pac-12, whatever it's called, they don't have a life. And
no, they will matter only in the eyes that they are available programming for networks. So same as the Big 12, and the ACC has really done serious damage. Hey, thank you for the call. This was a fabulous call. I could listen to you more, but we're up against the clock here. Thanks so much for calling. Appreciate you being a part of the show. We will see you on Monday.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.